Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're joined by Ricky Ellison. He is the chairman and founder of the Missile Defense Advocacy Alliance, an organization committed to helping address the need for and encourage support for missile defense against the various threats that we're facing today and in the future. He's a man of many parts, including having served in the National Football League for 10 years as a middle linebacker. In fact, a winner of 3 Super Bowls, and congratulations on all of that. But Ricky, the work you're doing at the moment is incredibly important as well, and we're delighted to have a chance to talk with you about it.
Well, thank you, Frank.
You've just come back, as I understand it, from Israel, and perhaps therefore have a real-time view of how this Iranian deal is shaping up and likely to have real implications for our security interests in the region and perhaps for us here at home. What have the Israelis been telling you, and what do you make of it?
Well, I've had the fortunate ability to be both with our troops in Jordan that are doing the airstrikes into Syria and into Iraq with ISIS, as well as also visit with Israel, as you stated, during that time period. I believe when I was there, both Republican leaders of the Senate and the House were there as well. There's absolute certainty that they do not want the deal to go forward with Iran. They feel absolutely threatened.
You're talking about the Israelis now, not just the leadership of the Congress.
But they certainly feel the wrath of a financially stable Iran being able to be unlimited in its resources to put those into military weapon systems that can threaten Israel. So I think on a bigger picture, that's big. They obviously think the breakout is not going to be a year. The breakout's going to be very quick, and they're contesting that aspect of it.
You know, my colleague Claire Lopez has an interview at WorldNet Daily today, WND, in which she's talking about the widespread speculation that the Iranians may already have a couple of nuclear weapons and are now in the process of mating them with the rather large and growing missile capabilities, ballistic missile capabilities they have. I don't know where you come down on that, but talk a little bit about what the Iranians are doing in terms of those missiles, which are obviously designed to deliver nuclear weapons, both to Israel and other targets in the Middle East and perhaps to Europe and even to us.
Right. And we know right off the bat that the limits on any ballistic missiles were not in this agreement at all. So they are continuing to proliferate short, medium, and longer range missiles. They are very close to having an ICBM-capable missile. So that's going to continue, and we think with more funding, with sanctions lifted, that they will even be able to do more of that. So they certainly hold Israel hostage. They certainly can hold the Middle Eastern region hostage. They are moving towards a 2,500 culminated with the Shihab 3 developments to further themselves into and past Romania and Poland, Russia, etc. So that has not been stopped, and that's what I think the big concern is. Obviously putting the smaller rockets in Hezbollah and the factions they have in Syria is going to be, in Lebanon, is going to be a serious issue for Israel with that as well.
Okay, so let's broaden the lens here, Ricky. Unfortunately, Iran is not the only challenge that we're facing in this regard. The ballistic missile programs of their allies and close partners in developing both nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles, the North Koreans, are growing. Apparently, they're even looking at submarine-launched ones. Talk about that, and talk about what we are also seeing at the same time coming out of Russia. We talked with Bill Gertz about a violation of the INF Treaty, and China as well.
Well, I think, you know, the biggest threat to our country today is from North Korea. So with the president making this deal, I think there's going to be more focus, and I think it's a good focus, to be finishing off our complete defensive capability, to have no gaps, no seams between our country and North Korea. So that's a concern. As you know, we are putting forward a long-range discriminating radar, $1 billion radar that's going to go up in Alaska, that's going to be able to project and track very, very closely in the entire, almost, I mean, three quarters of the launch into the United States and North America. We're also redeveloping the kill design vehicle on top of our new missiles. So I think this is going to give us some opportunity from a president's perspective. I mean, it's not my personal perspective, but from the president's perspective to put our resources against North Korea right now, which needs to be done prior to Iran.
But what we're seeing coming out of Russia and China, which may be far more serious a problem in the future than whatever the North Koreans can muster, is particularly worrying, I would assume, to you, Ricky Ellison, and the Missile Defense Advocacy Alliance you lead, especially as some of these developments are reportedly including such techniques as hypersonic systems and maneuvering reentry vehicles that are explicitly being advertised as designed to defeat our missile defenses. Talk about those, if you would.
Absolutely. So the United States, by the way, is the only country right now that's actually successfully tested these kind of systems. These systems are not ballistic. They go up, and then they change your trajectory path, and they can glide and do very fast Mach maneuverability, so they can't be tracked, and you can't mathematically calculate where they're going to be. So that's the new way of breaking the system, the current system, in that capability. China has been trying this repeatedly. They still haven't got it yet, but I'm sure they will be able to get it. Russia is behind that. So we have to develop another system to be able to hit that kinetically. And we do. We have a fundamental one right now with THAAD that we're going to put an extended range on it, because that hypersonic works at the upper atmosphere where the THAAD interceptor can maneuver and work. So we're still ahead of the game on this, but they are catching up with that to try and break our missile defense capabilities.
Well, boy, I hope you're right. It sounds to me as though they've been stealing marches on us. I know that they and the Russians and the Indians in particular have been developing some hypersonic cruise missiles, and I assume that that's translating into ballistic capabilities as well. Talk, if you would, Ricky Ellison, about the president's legacy. You've mentioned a number of programs, fairly modest in scope, welcome though they are, against North Korea. But the president came into office and shortly after assuming the presidency began dismantling and cutting back some of these. Where has that left us in terms of defenses against these things in Europe and for that matter, here, the east coast of the United States, for example?
Well, as we recall, we go back to when he first came to office, we were going to put 50 ground-based interceptors into the holes in Alaska and California. He cut that all the way back to 30. He also reduced our multiple kill vehicle that we were working on and a kinetic energy KEI interceptor that we were working on and put that in the back. The funding for our national defense has eroded during the first part of his administration while we were putting new funds and those funds into the EPAA over in Europe. So our system, and as you know, we had some failures. The system was disregarded basically for 6 years until the NORTHCOM commander, Jacoby, flat out went to the president and said, hey, we've got to have a capability here. So they've been forced to put more funding back in there. They're going to put 14 more. So they're going back from 30 to 44 interceptors, and they're putting more funding in the modernization system. But we're concerned, obviously, with this Iran agreement. Does the president, is he going to withdraw from Romania and Poland? I mean, because if there's no nuclear threat, there's going to be some politics with that. And I think also the 44, are we going to still go forward with all this if this deal goes forward and there's no nuclear capability going forward on that aspect of it?
Well, again, we're talking about the putative absence of a nuclear capability, not necessarily the real absence of a capability. And you're right, boy, you look at the extent to which the president has gone out of his way to accommodate the Russians, notably in Europe. And I can imagine that another piece of his legacy may be yet another scuppering of European missile defenses at his hands. Ricky, we have to leave it at that for the moment. We appreciate tremendously what you're doing with the Missile Defense Advocacy Alliance. Welcome home and come back to us again very soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again Monday, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.